Welcome everybody to the Kazumatsuri Canon Book Club Ice Creamery.
I'm your ice cream man, Aspiety.
And Pepe, what flavor would you like?
You got mint chocolate chip? Need to hit me up with some mint chocolate chip.
Okay, here's your mint chocolate chip. Next customer, please. Pie?
I will go for strawberry because it's sweet and fruity just like me.
Sweet and fruity, coming right up. We have some new faces here. Biscuito, what can I get you today?
Hey man, can I get some of that cookies and cream, please?
Sorry, we're sold out of cookies and cream today.
Oh, what the fuck? Fuck this place, I'm out.
Oh shit.
Well, and someone else there, Nashes, what can I get you today?
I'll go with vanilla just because, you know, I don't need to be special.
God damn it. Vanilla's so boring. Like,
Hey,
do you want me to crawl in that ice cream truck and drag your ass out?
I was gonna come back and ask for vanilla too. I feel like really offended. You hating on vanilla right now, bro?
Vanilla is so boring.
I think he's hating on vanilla.
It's vanilla for a reason.
I need to send you guys all an interview from Josh Homme, who is the singer of Queens of the Stone Age. He did an interview where they asked him a bunch of really silly questions. And he was asked something about, like, would you make a song or whatever. He said he wanted to make a song called The Plight of Vanilla.
Yeah.
Because he feels like vanilla is hated upon just because it's clearly the best. Like, the most people like vanilla. What's wrong with that? Just because it's normal doesn't mean it's wrong in this, like, in this case.
Hey,
like, clearly it's the best.
Vanilla is only so common because who the fuck would eat ice-flavored ice cream, okay?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And you know what
else?
Let's
just throw this out.
The best girls with the best roots eat vanilla ice cream, and that's what we're talking about today. Yay!
Just before we go on a massive tangent about ice cream.
Yeah, took the words right out of my mouth there. Best girl, like,
I gotta really, I gotta really commend Naoki Hisaya here for his... There's a lot of meta in this route, and I feel like the most prominent is definitely that this is a vanilla story, and she likes vanilla ice cream. Absolutely perfect. Like,
Doki.
I mean, yeah, that kind of works, because, like, her character design is definitely the most, like, vanilla.
I want some Doki Doki vanilla. Like, I just want that to be... It's just vanilla ice cream, but it's just called Doki
Doki.
It's
going to
be Fua Fua. Fua Fua Vanilla.
I would also like waffle vanilla. But what other flavor gets your heart all ducky ducky like this, you know?
Shall I vanilla ecstasy?
No.
Ooh.
No.
All
right, okay.
That's the DLC. You have to get shalala sprinkles on top of your vanilla ice cream.
So, Biscuito, you haven't been on the podcast for a while. Where the hell have you been?
Yeah, hi, I'm Biscuit Dough. I am part of the staff here. I haven't been around because I'm a terrible human being. Anyways, if you want to know how my life's been, man, as I told you guys in pre-podcast, I was just kind of chilling on a beach, and I'm like in one of those like beach chairs, like lounging and chilling, drinking on some martinis.
There's a little umbrella in your drink.
But the beach is on fire. But you know what? I'm keeping it cool.
And I believe you have the 30-second recap for this week covered, yeah?
Oh, I sure do. All right.
Let's get to that.
I'm a bit rusty, so you guys are going to cut me some slack if I don't make it. Sorry.
It's fine.
No one makes the 30 seconds anymore.
I made some last-second edits here, too, that I didn't actually test, so
all
right. Hopefully I do it right on the first try. So, Yuichi, not knowing what to do with himself, steps outside and says, "Oh my god, it's cold!" for lunch and meets some poor, sickly-looking love interest. Imagine that. Don't think this is a trope character. This short-haired beauty's got bite and doesn't like people who think that way. Sadly, this is ruined when somebody makes fun of her tits. Yuichi falls in love, but she's going to die because fuck you. Holding a small pharmacy in her bag between a notebook and Harry Potter's cloak, there's another plot where Kaori sucks, more like coward. Good thing there's snow everywhere for that burn. Thankfully, after partaking in the heinous act of hand-holding, she already saved. Like Sands to the Hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
So are the days of our lives.
How do we start with this route? I think we can all agree that it was fucking fantastic.
Yes.
I saw the ratings on the forum for this route, and it's one of the highest on the forum. Like, it's definitely top five. I think that's pretty commendable.
I think, I think Pepe did some researching and found a few things that were higher.
After Story is the only one that I saw.
After Story. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say top five overall, not top five in canon. That wouldn't be very impressive.
Yeah.
Second only to After Story.
Yep. Yeah. Second.
People like this route, guys.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good.
So, did anyone not rate it a five? Okay.
Well, you have your answer.
Wow, that's like
yep.
quite achievement, because like all of the other routes we've covered in this book club have been completely divisive. I hated Nayuki. Lots of people mixed opinions on Makoto. I think
I hated Makoto.
Did Pai give it a 2?
I gave a 2 to Mai.
Yeah. That was Mai you gave a 2 to. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right.
Yes.
So like, and I gave that a 4. So it's like, it's really all around the board with these routes. Some things gel with people better than others. But here we are, Shiori's, where it's just like, everyone loves it. It's just crazy how this happens.
I guess because it's, I guess one reason why everybody loves it is because it's also pretty safe. Like, it has a good message, and it's very clear-cut in what it wants to say, but it's also safe in everything that it wants to say. Like, Nayuki had that whole issue with her being your cousin, which I think a lot of people didn't appreciate. And then Makoto had the whole fantasy fox story, but Shiori was very, it was very real. And I think it's something that a lot of people can relate to. Well, I mean, it's something that can happen to anyone. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. I hope it doesn't happen to any of us, but yeah.
And unlike, you know, Akiko just suddenly getting hit by a fucking car.
Exactly.
This is a relatable drama in which, like, it's presented well. You know, we have incredible build-up to this. The destination, like, it's not like her dying is the whole climax of this route. It's just, like, what we're working up to. I really like how they handled that.
Like, everyone, because she knows you're gonna die. Like, even when she says at the beginning, I have a cold, and she has that mixed emotions face, you know, oh, that's not a fucking cold.
That's the expression, straight up, the writing of this, it's just like, you know, from the first time we meet her, we know that something's not quite right, and like, how she's always seems to be a little bit spacey, but like, concealing a sadness, I think, is what Yuichi describes it as. And we're aware of that from the very beginning. We don't know why, but then, I don't know, you could probably like piece it together that maybe she's like really sick because she has a cold and she's always downplaying that. This is like a case where we have the, I guess they call it key aids colloquially, where there's an unknown disease which is afflicting a character. And
I mean, shit, at least they bothered to actually address it.
Yeah, they did. It's just like, it's
what the hell is it? And she's like, does it really matter?
Nope.
And like, you know, thinking about it as far as, you know, you could call it lazy or whatever, but as far as writing is concerned, you could pretty much say, yeah, it really doesn't matter because, shit, anyone can have any number of terrible illness. There's a bajillion of them out there.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them so, that can't be
fair
cured.
Enough. Fair enough.
And I mean, and they definitely did us the favor of keying in on it being something serious just because of the whole, oh yeah, I'm here to see my sister, and then sister's like, who the fuck are you talking about? At which point it's pretty safe to say that there's something going on there that sister has just decided to give up all hope.
Mm-hmm.
I think just in general, it's a really well-paced route. There, you know, we just came off of Mai, which was very, very long, and it felt very dragged out.
Oh, yeah,
there were a lot of moments that you could kind of look at and say, like, why was that even there? But with the Shiori route, it really just it felt compact, and but it didn't feel rushed.
No, they had a very clear message from the beginning that they wanted to tell. They focused on one specific story and didn't deviate from that really at all.
And I like that they focused on the one specific story, but they didn't leave it, well, okay, I'll say one specific, like, core component, I guess, that a multitude of stories actually wrap around. Like, it's not just about Yuichi and Shiori, and it's not just about Kaori and Shiori. Like, it's about, you know, each group and, like, their interactions, and, like, there are other struggles at play instead of just the one. They may all be related in their own right, but it's cool.
I mean, the one thing this route has that, I mean, some of the other routes don't, I mean, with the exception of Makoto vanishing for, like, you know, 30 minutes before coming back and continuing to be slightly annoying, Shiori just kind of vanishes for 3-4 days around, like, what, the 18th through the 21st, 22nd, something like that. And it's just this whole thing of, yo, what the hell's going on? You know, conversations with Nayuki, conversations with Kaori. And it's just kind of offbeat from the normal, you know, character routes in that you're learning about the character without actually interacting with the character.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about characters for a second.
Yeah.
How good was Nayuki in this route?
She was very good. She was very supportive.
Nayuki was a bro.
She was a bro.
She did an excellent supporting role, like none other I've seen in any other routes in this game. I feel really bad for her, because Yuichi's just, like, not sharing anything, and she's completely left in the dark.
But she knows. Like,
she's knowledgeable enough to know that, like, respect those boundaries and just be like, yeah, I'm here for you, you know?
By the time she meets Shiori, there was even
that scene whenever he's trying to just fuck off whenever she's like asking him or trying to like do some shit with him, and he's like, no, I'm good. And she actually chases him, and he's like, wow, she's usually not this, you know, pushy about stuff.
And there was that one scene where they like sit down, like she's just sitting down in the room in the dark with him. It's just like, so why are you here? It's just like, I don't know, I just thought you needed someone. It's just like, wow. It's like a great contrast to Nayuki's route where Yuichi's kind of doing the same thing, but less effectively, I guess.
Well, I mean, one thing with a lot of the other routes, and especially common in a lot of the other routes, and every route really, is that whenever Nayuki starts to, I mean, just really try to get Yuichi's attention, whenever he ignores her, she gets really put off and really kind of upset about it. You know, she kind of mopes a little bit, and then, I mean, pretty much in this route, once she actually, you know, met Shiori, she just becomes super, super supportive for whatever reason.
Yeah. Is that a difference in riders? I don't know. We didn't mention, but this route was by Naoki Hisaya, whereas he did Nayuki, but Maeda did Makoto and Mai's route. So we're going back to Hisaya after a few weeks, and I'm noticing a few differences. There's definitely, like, differences in style where I feel like, so far, Hisaya's route have been a bit more grounded in reality, whereas Maeda definitely likes to incorporate those more fantastical elements and those plot twists in his stories.
I noticed that Hisaya has a lot more quotable moments, and this is something that Cannon brought up in his post, because when he was basically recapping it, he just, like, had quote after quote after quote. And there were just so many good ones in this route, like the...
I agree.
Yeah, like...
I took a lot of notes about just the... flat out, the writing is just really good. Like, there's some really interesting stuff, like... I jokingly mentioned Meta earlier, but I will bring that back up again later on.
I also think Hisaya has a better overall vision of what canon is supposed to be.
Yes, definitely. Like, I mean, he is the project head.
Yeah, true.
He's the lead writer.
And Maeda's roots seemed a bit off there. Like, Maeda's roots seemed like they could have worked in a game that wasn't canon. Whereas Hisaya's roots so far seemed like they were made for canon, so yeah.
I'll say that I like that there's definitely some connectedness, but if there is anything that would knock this route down to, like, obviously, I've not necessarily stayed as caught up as everyone else. As a matter of fact, I'm horrifically not caught up, but I watched the anime. I read, when reading it, I noticed, like, a lot of the stuff that I could tell was overarching pieces and stuff that, like, it's hinting towards other things. It felt a bit force-fed to me. Some of the stuff seemed a bit heavy-handed, but I would say that might... It's cool that there are connections, obviously, and I can see where there's a benefit there, but to me, some of the stuff felt a bit weird. I was like, hey, I'm on this route, not that route. Stop it. You know?
Are you talking about the ending?
Some other things.
Are you talking about Ayu saying goodbye, because she does that in every fucking route?
Yeah, that's the thing that happens in every route.
Yeah, she does that in every single
route.
Every single route.
Even Ayu's route.
Yeah, you can. Well, I mean, it's.
Does she do
this one?
I'm joking.
No.
It's a touch off topic, but, like, they were talking to IU, like, less than 24 hours before that scene popped up.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, hey, IU, it's been a while.
I don't know. I'll say that, like, the her bumping in is cool, but there are just so many times where it's just like, hey, this is, like, kind of the main girl. Look at her being here. And I was like, okay.
I mean, Ayu does have a more pronounced root in Shiori's root as compared to all the other roots, I think. Like,
presence,
because
you mean. Pronounced presence.
Pronounced, oh, yeah. Pronounced presence in root. Okay, anyway.
Like, there's even, like, a whole scene where he's like, I went home and all I could think about was Ayu, and I'm just like, bruh. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's just like, come on. I wish Shiori was the main girl.
That would be very nice. I think it would be.
And let's she's just have actually a, an unpopular... She's not a very popular character.
No,
like,
she's
I
not.
I really don't see any fan out of Shiori ever.
No.
Or, like...
Neither are there any YouTube clips of her.
It's such a cry.
but it would be nice to have someone just walk up and offer you ice cream instead of someone just sprinting into you with stolen Taiyaki. But
yeah, yes, like her personality is so vile, but it's so refreshing. Like all
the
other
snark.
Personalities are kind of like radical or like some sort of archetype or something. Like even Naiki's just like that sleepy girl thing is just her biggest. It's like every day we see it, it's just like. Yeah, it gets a little bit old. But I don't know.
I think that might be why you don't see as much art of her, though, is because her character design doesn't really stand out. She's got short hair, but it's not a weird color. She's got, you know...
I think she's the most interesting-looking character at all, and especially considering she's not wearing the freaking uniform.
Yeah, she's got a shawl, so that kind of helps.
Yeah.
And her cute little plaid skirt thingy.
Yeah.
And then the black tank top, yeah. Which is over like a big puffy sweater.
Yeah. I'm not
She's
saying
cute.
It's yes. a bad character design. I'm just saying it doesn't stand out. It's not as iconic as some of the other ones.
Well, she doesn't have
it stands
crazy
out
hair. She doesn't have wings. She doesn't have a sword.
So. Yeah. I guess that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, she has great fashion sense.
Yeah, she does.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just talking about characters, I really like Shiori's character, and just, I know, when I first met her, like, I don't know, if you play the PS2 version, it's got voice acting, and her voice acting is fucking great, but, that aside,
it's very
just,
stable. How do I describe it?
One thing I really, did you want to talk about that more, Pepe?
I mean, it's about her voice acting. It's like, it's not over the top, and it fits her personality very well. Like, it's very smooth, I think. Is what I
that's
like about
something,
her voice.
That's something great about Shiori. She's not overdone. She doesn't overstay her welcome. She has her quirks, like the ice cream thing. It's probably like the biggest like point subtractor
and the,
there.
I don't like / hate when people blank.
Yeah, so she has her verbal
that's
tics,
cute.
But...
It's not a verbal tic, but...
Yeah, I mean,
there's definitely
it's
a cute
not like it's
that.
Not like a goo level yeah. We're talking it's here. Not. It's kind of just like a fun little, almost Tsukomi reaction to things.
Yeah.
But there's just something about how her character is presented in this VR that's so... It's so natural. That's the word I'm looking for. Natural. It just doesn't feel like it's trying to force us to like this character. She just has sort of this natural appeal to her. And, like, I really liked when I was reading this read, one thought I had, I posted on the forum, was that there's this scene where it's just, like, after they've gotten to know each other and they're going on their d-d-d-deto...
The date.
That's kind of what put it.
And she isn't even ashamed to call it a date. She just straight up says, "This is a date."
Yeah.
And Yuichi keeps
it's like
denying.
She's really rushing the relationship, and we
she's
later
she's the
learn.
One who called it a date. Mm. And Yuichi is just all like,
"Like it is kind of weird."
Like,
that
oh, now it's a date.
It's kind of weird that they just met and they're already like going on a date and doing all this shit. But when you know obviously know what's going
well, let's
on.
Let's be
it makes
real,
more sense.
Shiori. There are.
I'm trying to get a point out and everyone keeps getting their own
go,
answer.
go.
But basically, there's this scene here where he's, after all, this is like, so, what are you into? It's like, that's what you should start the relationship with, not after the date. But, and she's just like, oh, I kind of like art. And I'm just like, wait, what? I didn't know that. Or at least I forgot it. It's just like, she actually has aspects to her character that aren't like blatantly in our face, like part of her identity, like... She has her own unique interests and likes and dislikes that just make her feel like a more complete character and, like, more like a real person than, like, anyone else in canon. It's not like, oh, I'm the artist, I'm gonna paint everything every route, I mean, in every day. It's like, it's just, like, something there that's about her that adds more to her character and it's just, like, really subtle subtle sort of writing, but I don't know, it's just something that feels so natural and real about this character that I'm just like, ah, this is good. This is good writing, good character writing.
My favorite part about her art thing is that she's not even that great, at least as far as Yuichi is concerned. And then,
Didn't you guys see that portrait at the end? That was fucking cute. It's pretty but it was cute.
I just thought it was, really funny because, like, yo, let's talk about realism for a second. Whenever he's like, this super realistic scenario where Yuichi, he says like the dumbest thing he could possibly say whenever he's like trying to not diss her art. He's all just like, oh, I'm sure you'll get better. And she's just like, those are my best ones. And it's just like, you just said the worst possible thing. Good game, Yuichi. You out of here. But then he comes and just pulls out this, but it's fun, so it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
And it works.
It does.
How the fuck does that work? Like, what? Like, that's a match made in heaven right there.
I think it works because it's Shiori, and like, maybe it's part of her character, but also part of her situation. It's just like, she's just having fun, you know? That's what she's trying to do.
So, bringing it back to what you were saying about finding her likable and stuff, is that, what was I going to say? Oh, no. You know what, whatever, it's fine.
Well, I mean, one of the other things is, unlike Ayu, who oogoos every time she oogoos and doesn't even realize that she's oogooing, it almost seems like with the way that Shiori acts, whenever she's being silly, she's fully aware of the fact that she's being silly.
Yes.
She's just choosing to do it because she's having a good time.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what's so cute about it.
Off the joke.
Hey, yes, Biz?
I'm gonna butt in. Okay, I was trying to not forget. So, like, you were talking about how it was kind of weird how she's the one calling it a date and how she's the one kind of being assertive. And the thing that's interesting there is it makes sense because the powers that be and knowing what her incentives are, it makes a lot of sense that she would be trying to kind of accelerate the process a little bit.
You know
what I'm saying? To try to, like, she's kind of taking control. And it's cool that that's a part of her character, too, because I made it a point to bring up that, like, you know, your first impression might be like, oh, look at this kind of sickly, oh, she's one of them weak girls or whatever. And it completely flips on its head, and, like, she's, like, actually strong, like, really strong, like, really brave and strong.
I like how Cannon put it.
Way stronger than Yuichi could ever hope to be, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Because he has issues keeping up, I think, with just how strong that she's, like, she is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
cool that you can have these ideas about, you know, that, oh, it's just going to be one of these tropey characters, and then there's actually so much depth to her that it's hard to not
go
crazy
thinking about different things.
So we've still got one more character to talk about in this route that we haven't gotten to yet. That
we touched on briefly.
Yeah, we touched on her briefly. Kaori, she's, you know, despite not wanting to be pegged as this, she's Shiori's older sister, and she's the character that we know who's related to Shiori that we've seen in other routes. So what do you guys think of Kaori? And, you know, do you think she's a sympathetic character, or do you just straight up hate her like everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Of course she's sympathetic.
I can't hate her.
I think I can't hate her at all. Like, I actually completely understand exactly, you know, why she acted the way she did. And I think that that's a fair reaction. I can't knock her for it, because as you see at the end of the route, whenever things are being kind of panned over by our omnipotent observer,
omniscient,
whatever. I knew you were going to do that because I know that you're one of those weird people. Anyways, we find out, you know, they said it very, very blankly. No one loves her more than her sister does. Like,
you, the sister, you take even gave her the shawl, you know,
consideration. When you take time into consideration, Yuichi's known her for, you know, 2-3 weeks. Kaori's been dealing with this, like, probably her whole freaking life. Like, and was looking forward to, and is, and always will be, her bigger sister. And they end up, you know, coming together in the end anyways. So, it made sense in the end. I mean, it's hard to not just be like, wow, what a bitch, you know? Like, whenever you're first reading it, like, that's fucked up. But you know, one of the lessons that a lot of people learn in their life, like whenever you have a, maybe like your grandparent or parent is passing away or something, and maybe you haven't seen them in a super long time, or maybe there's some reason that you haven't seen them, maybe you're estranged or something weird, I don't know, like you're just completely separated from that family. There comes a time when people have to accept that this might be your last chance getting to see that person, and you should probably do something about it. And I think that that's what ends up coming around, and I think Yuichi does a lot to help kind of pull that out of her and let her see that what she's doing is wrong, and let her see things from another perspective where, look, we're all sitting here, we're having fun. Why are you being this way? You need to waste this time.
And on the other side, I mean, in her defense, not that it's necessarily the right thing, whenever you have someone, you know, she loves her sister with all her heart. She's known her sister her entire life, and she's basically being forced into a situation where this is an inevitability, and it is going to be a slow and arduous process. And she does probably what's a very human thing to do, and just completely cuts it out.
Yep.
It's like, I want to remember my sister for who she was in her most liveliest times, and not my sister during this entire ordeal in which I'm going to watch her slowly fade away.
And not only does Shiori sympathize with that, because she ends up talking to Yuichi about, you know, whenever he asks her out, she turns him down the first time, because she's like, you don't want to, you know, have these good memories just be sad memories, because that sucks.
Yeah, but
and then even Yuichi sympathizes with Kaori whenever he's like, she's basically just doing what, you know, opposite me would have done in this situation, so I can't knock her for it. Like, it's very cut and dry, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would actually really like to see an arc where you end up with Kaori, and you can kind of see things from her point of view a little bit more. And I think that it's a very different struggle, but I think it's an equally interesting struggle to the one that Shiori goes through. You know, dealing with losing someone as opposed to dealing with, you know, your own mortality.
I feel like it could have been written so much better, though. Sorry, Pepe, you've been trying to get in for so long now.
Damn it. I have three different things to say about this.
Do you remember them all?
I remember...
You should have squeezed in one in between each.
I remember two of them.
There was a gap there that you could have taken and you didn't.
Damn it. Because my computer hanged. Anyway. Okay, so one thing about Kaori's whole ordeal is, and I thought about this while I was reading it, is that how she gets over it was very simple. Like, she just hangs out with Yuichi and Shiori and Nayuki eating a huge ass parfait, and at the end of the day...
Yes, that's what I was about to say.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, she tells them that my sister never had good taste, was it? I think? Yeah. And, like, she's my sister. And at first I thought, well, that's a pretty easy resolution. But at the end of the day, I realized it wasn't... I mean, she was just being dumb about it, I think.
Like, I think the other way to look at it is that... Have you ever tried giving somebody the silent treatment before?
Yeah.
Because it always breaks down when you have to be with that person for any length of time. It's just unnatural to give somebody the silent treatment for that long.
I mean,
and I think the only way she was really able to keep it up with Shiori is that she was able to put herself in situations where she wasn't around Shiori. So
I absolutely go finish.
Oh yeah, and so as soon as she gets stuck in the situation where she has to be sitting at the table with Shiori, it's like, oh, well, I guess I can't ignore her existence anymore because she's sitting right there, and other people that I'm with are acknowledging her existence. So, I guess I have to go with this.
It's not as simple as like just seeing her existence be there. I think it's more like she realizes. I think it's because when she sees Yuichi and Shiori as a couple, it's like her sisterly instinct starts to kick in, you know? It's like...
Exactly.
Who is this guy? Because why is he...
The best part of the whole scene when they're outside is like how Yuichi's being a smartass. And he's just like, what's it to ya? And then they get all fucking World Star out there and she's like, bitch, that's my sister. And it's like, ah!
I can imagine her entire thought process was during that parfait eating scene. I was like,
I read that line and just was like, I gave a thumbs up to my monitor. I was like, you go, girl. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
I think her entire...
She's like, who are you? I've known her my whole life.
I think her entire thought process while they were eating that parfait was that, who is this guy? Why is he so lovey-dovey with my sister? And then her other half says, no, she's not my sister. Don't pay attention to it. And then at the end, she breaks and realizes that, yeah, she's my sister.
She's being a dum-dum.
She's being a dum-dum. I'm being a dum-dum. I should do what Yuichi's doing and appreciate my sister, despite it being her last days.
I thought it was also a great way of, like, illustrating to Kari that, you know, it's not all... It doesn't have to be sad. Like, it might have been before when she was, like, pretty much committing suicide. But then, you know, Yuichi kind of brings this light back into her life where it's like, it doesn't all have to be so grim and sad. You know, you can still have fun in the last days of your life and, like, live them to the full. And I think this was, like, a wake-up call for Kari. It's like, oh, yeah, like, she can have a good send-off, basically.
It all comes about after she basically confides in Yuichi, you know, and finally lets everything out that she's been holding in.
Yeah. She's a relatable character. Sure, maybe what she did wasn't good or right, but that doesn't mean we can't empathize with her.
I mean, that's what makes her human.
Many people would do the exact same thing in her shoes. Fold her.
It's a continuing theme in this route, and maybe in canon, I would say that not the name of the VN, but the name of the person canon would say that it is not a unique trait to this route, that there is a sense of realism in this novel. To which I could agree to, from what I do know of it, it's much less wacky and zany as things tend to get in the future.
I would not agree entirely.
It's got good character to it.
I feel like Makoto's route was pretty much this message, but executed less good.
I wouldn't say that either.
I think it's interesting. So one of my points was kind of comparing this route to Makoto's route. So it feels really different to me. What do you think makes Makoto's route feel so different from Shiori's, even though they are kind of the same concept of the slowly fading away character and kind of this sense of impending doom?
Pepe?
Okay. what makes it so different? I think the difference is that Makoto, well, she wasn't alive as a person, is the biggest difference. And she only came into this existence to be with Yuichi. And therefore, her only goal was to spend time with Yuichi. And I think that was the point of Makoto's route. Whereas Shiori is a full person who lived a pretty normal life, I assume, until she found out that she had Ki AIDS. And I think that's what makes it different, is because you're dealing with a person who has had a past. You're dealing with a person who, like... Her desire isn't only to be with you, and just spending time with her is not like what she wants. She wants to be a normal girl, and sure, because you're spending time with her as a normal girl, you're helping achieve that. But it's not like you're not the only reason for her existence, and I think that's what makes it very different.
I think what contrasts the two of them a lot for me would be that looking at Makoto, it's kind of like this. It's all very fake and just strange. Whereas when you look at Shiori, and I'll just go back to what we were just saying before we went on about this, is that there is a very strong sense, and it's in the writing too, quite a lot. There's a very strong groundedness. It's a very down-to-earth story that doesn't get zany. Like, it's very real.
I mean,
whereas
okay.
Makoto to me just tone wise and everything is just completely not the same. I don't know.
If I can say what I think is the big difference, I think the biggest thing is that Shiori is cognizant of what's happening with her. Like, she's aware that she's, you know, going to die, and she, you know, is kind of coming to terms with it, whereas Makoto never really comes to terms with it, because she just sort of fades out of being a person before the time when, like, this idea of death sort of, you know, occurs. And it's like, for Makoto's arc, we're dealing with this sense of loss from Yuichi, whereas with Shiori's arc, we're, you know, put in this, you know, position where it's like Shiori is the one who understands what's happening, and, you know, she's there, she's preparing for it.
A lot of the empathy has to do with what she thinks about she is losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as opposed to just going,
one of the key points to her, you know, staring death in the face and being just like, shit, I don't want to die. And that's kind of a key pivotal moment.
I think that's the lesson that we needed her to realize by the end of the route, is that she shouldn't want to die, even if she is going to die.
And that's I think this is why, like, we haven't really talked about the ending much yet, but just to go into that a bit, she doesn't die. Like, a miracle saves her. And that's, I can see why people might find that a bit jarring, but then I look at the ending, and then we get this amazing scene that couldn't have happened otherwise, where she just, like, you know, is it okay? Can I finally cry now, basically? And she just, like, collapses in his arms, and it's like, I'm so, like, I didn't want to die. Like, I was just, you know, putting it on, and I'm just, oh my god. Like, the fact that she can have that emotional catharsis after going through that experience makes it all worth it for me, almost. Yes. Like, it's just because we could have that scene, that realization, yeah, that, you know, she still got the whole, like, realization that life is precious, and, you know, learning to live life to the full and getting all those experiences, but we didn't have to get the sad ending for it. And you know why? Because fiction shouldn't have a sad ending, because real life is bad.
Yay! And she already says it right there in her route. Fuck the haters.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you guys, if you don't like that ending, you can go back to when you're eating the parfait and choose not to meet with Kaori, and you will get the ending that you want, and you can just leave it there.
Wait, really?
Yes, you will.
So there's a she dies ending.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. There's a she dies ending, and then at the end, Yuichi meets a new first year, and then he looks at the class roster hoping that Shiori is there, but she's not there, and then ending. It's not very good.
It's not good.
I mean, I challenge the read. I challenge all of you guys to go there to read that alternate ending and tell me if you thought it was any better than the actual ending.
I will come out and say that I don't think that there is anything lost in the true ending.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that. Even when I was reading it, I thought to myself, I was like, shit, if she died, like, this could still be a really good ending.
Yeah, sure.
I actually disagree with you. Can I kind of say why I think that wouldn't work?
I mean, I was going to explain why, but you can go ahead.
Okay, the reason why I don't think that would work as well if, you know, she actually just died is...
Would it work as well? Okay.
No, I don't think it would work as well from, like, a narrative standpoint, because it would be too straight of a storyline. You have to at least have some point at which something sort of unexpected happens, or it takes a turn away from what's been sort of discussed the entire time. So it's like you have this entire story that's going towards she's going to die, she's going to die, she's going to die, she's going to die, and if she just dies at the end, there's no change, there's no sense of motion in the story.
There was. And that has to do with when she turns down Yuichi compared to whenever they do it again, and then are then able to enjoy their week.
Yep.
And one of the themes that comes out a lot in this route was, and it starts really early, and we're going to start talking about writing now, because writing is freaking good. Whenever he's talking about, whenever you take, like, I think it was the scene when she's sitting in the desk and she's looking out the window, you have kind of a definite understanding of, like, mortality here, because they start using these descriptors and they're talking about all these different things in the world that are by all means endless as far as us humans and our, you know, 80 to 100 year lives or whatever it is, if you're so lucky, lives are, and how small that is in comparison to everything else. descriptors are like the endless heavens, the clouds that stream without ends, the sun that pours down endlessly.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Wow.
All of these different words that... There's lots of other things about this. There's more examples I can bring up later in regards to the grounded in reality idea that plays a lot into them whenever they actually get to go out. That it's like eternity when Yuichi... I'll just go into it right now. When Yuichi tells her like that I want to be yours forever, for eternity, like let's be together forever, whatever... She says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Nope. But she's wrong. She's wrong. Because, you see, eternity or infinity is... It's relative.
Yep.
Here, technically. And when you think about measurements. And that if you spend a week with someone, your entire time together is that of a week. That is your eternity.
Because it's your last week.
And you can spend that eternity happily. And that is forever.
And I think that's what she realizes by the end. And I think that's the whole...
And that's... She does realize that. And I think that that's a good thing. And I feel like that was a really important development. Like, all that encompasses your existence is your eternity. And so whenever you take into consideration the idea of mortality or someone who's, you know, living like a really just unfortunate life, for lack of a better way to put it, when you take good guy Yuichi here... Like, freaking my hero in this point. Like, he comes out and he's just like, you know, it doesn't matter. I'll still be with you forever. Like, we're going to have a good time together. And that's what they do. They spend this week where they get to just, you know, be happy. And that is their good memories, and they will be eternal. And it's not going to go away. Which I think is a really, really cool and important lesson, like, whenever you think about someone's relationship.
I think the whole point of this story was getting Shiori to develop into that kind of character who accepts that eternity with Yuichi and like doesn't try to give up anything just because she's gonna die. And I think this goes into like what I thought was the main point of the story, which is why, going back to the ending, I think it doesn't matter if she survived, because the main point wasn't to get her to survive. We already got the main point by the end of the climax, and this is just a nice little ending as a reward.
I mean, the one thing about Shiori, like, just, you know, her acceptance of the inevitable, if she were trying to prolong her life, she would be staying at home, taking her medicine, doing whatever the doctors tell her, but the very first time you meet her, she's trying to live with what she has left. She's, you know, she's out standing in the cold, trying to, you know, reconnect with someone. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to make, you know, use of what she has left.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have a question for you guys. What do you think Shiori thought of Yuichi in the first few days, like, in the first few days that she interacted with him? Like, did she think that, oh, this is a guy I'd like to be my boyfriend, or did she just see him as some weird person who's going out into the cold in the middle of the day?
I think, well, remember when she first meets him, it's whenever he's with Ayu, yeah, and like they have their ha-ha funny moment. Yeah.
So what you're saying is Shiori is a homewrecker.
Oh my god.
Well, I think I would call that one a savior.
Anyway.
Okay.
Whenever she sees those two having fun in comparison to her pitiful, you know, existence of just being, you know, a mope.
With that box cutter.
it makes her perspective of things just seem so silly. This is ridiculous. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
This is like my favorite scene in the entire anime, by the way.
Where... She sees this. Isn't this the same scene whenever they actually use the pure snows? The arranged?
I don't know.
Yeah.
From refill? Yeah. Good shit.
Yeah,
anyways, she's like, this seems so silly in comparison, and then that's whenever, you know, some magical hoobaloo happens. But regardless, I feel like whenever that happened and she shows up at the school the next day, I felt like she was looking for more of that. And she didn't, like, she says, I don't know what I was looking for. But I feel like what she was looking for is she was just looking for more experiences. Because her life up to that point was so devoid of all those dreams that she had, those experiences, that she's like, I need to get out and see more.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff out here. Like, stuff's happening. There are these people. And it just so happens that, hey, look, it's Yuichi.
It's the guy I met the other day.
Which, I mean, there's a whole, you know, little underlying thing about fate in the root that comes up a couple times. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I just thought that's what it was. I felt like the reason that she ended up clinging to him was partially fate, but also partially because she was going out and looking for that. Like, I felt like that was part of one of her goals. She wanted to go meet someone, and she wanted to have experiences and have fun. Right. Maybe not a boyfriend, but at least a friend.
It could have been... It could have been Kitagawa, except he's a...
I know, right?
If only he went out into the snow to talk to a mysterious girl.
Damn shame.
He could have been banging her at
the bed. Anyways, a butt monkey.
But, okay, a few little interesting observations. In the CG, where you first meet Shiori, you can see the box cutter. It's just strewn about her arm.
But you don't notice it.
You don't really, but it's there. The fact that it's there is just, like, so cool, I think.
It's consistency. If you saw a person, even if you noticed that box cutter, if you saw all the other shit she bought, you wouldn't think anything about it, would you?
And hey, true to the writing of the story where she bought all that other shit just to make the box cutter not look so strange.
Yeah.
If you did happen to be that attentive to look at the box cutter at that moment, you wouldn't think anything of it because hey, look at all the other stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's like rereading that scene a second time, it's like, oh, holy shit, this is good. It's just like, just see how, like, how bewildered she is, and just like...
She's so nervous, like, about not having them help pick up her stuff.
Yeah. It's like the best, that's like the highlight of the common room for me, knowing what's actually going on there. But yeah, and like I said, this scene in the anime where she's talking about how she, like, was going to cut herself... going to cut herself. She actually cut herself in the VN, but she did in the anime. Anyway, that's not important.
Okay.
No, the direction in the anime was like, holy shit. Because you just see, like, she's just talking about how, like, she's just thinking back to Ayu and Yuichi, and she just starts laughing uncontrollably. And then, like, she's laughing tears, and then after a while, she stops laughing and just keeps crying. It's just like, oh my god! If you want to watch the anime for any reason, let it be that scene, because holy shit.
All right.
They brought that.
Don't watch the anime for the root, by the way.
That's like my favorite.
It's funny because this root was like probably one of the few things, from my understanding, in the anime that kind of got cut up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying Shiori's root was a good adaptation, but that scene was a really good adaptation.
But I'll be straight and say it that I did, you know, watch the anime, and she was still my favorite character regardless. So, because those scenes were that good.
No, that I felt the same way. Like, even going in before we'd read this, I'm like, Shiori's root got, like, fucked in the anime, but I still really want to read her root because there was some really good shit going on there, and I want to. It was like a good bait almost for me to, like, read the full thing. And it worked, because this room was amazing. It's just, it reached all my expectations. I'm so happy about that. I'm just going to keep gushing about this, guys, but I think she might be my new favorite key girl, like, overall. I'm going to have to...
Someone beat Mio?
I'm going to have to go to the Little Buses book club to make my decision final.
See, a much better choice.
Revise my opinions on Mio, but...
Mio?
Shiori's
so fucking
good.
Best girl?
She's really good. She's like, she's definitely up there with Nagisa in terms of, like, really strong heroines in Ki.
Yeah.
And she's just so damn charming.
I mean, she's good. She's good enough that she made you forget the name of your former best girl. So I think that
that's just a lazy mouth. Forgive me.
I mean, I love how she's so snarky. I've always liked snarky characters, and I've noticed in anime those kinds of characters are usually relegated to side characters. Like, the best friend of the main heroine is usually snarky, but no, she's a heroine here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, all right, let's just go into it for a second. One thing, like, I really felt when I was reading this route was, like, there's all these things that Yuichi is doing for Shiori, like, for example, buying the art kit or whatever it was, and it's just like, these are things that she can only normally appreciate for the future, like, they're still spending their moments expecting them to last, even if it's all a farce. But like, yeah, what point does it change from thinking of the future to thinking of the now? Like, the whole point about Shiori, like, I want to eat ice cream every day because I'm not gonna get fat, you know? She doesn't say that, but I'm sure there's that motivation there. It's just like, it doesn't really matter anymore. Like, you know, thinking of my future anymore doesn't matter. It's like, I can just experience my pleasures in the present.
Well, I mean, there was more to the ice cream thing than just the being able to be a fatty. I mean, there was more. And I think it is kind of cool that whenever they're doing their normality week, that she actually, that's the first time that she actually mentions, like, oh, I don't want to get fat, you know. I actually thought that was...
Yeah,
that was,
no, she did. She did
that
say
that.
That
was cute.
It was cute.
But like I said, like...
She ate the ice cream anyway.
They're playing. It's all a
And then, they, yeah, that's when they realized, they were like, oh, this is silly.
Yeah.
Well... The whole point is that I want to spend my last week as a normal girl. And I think that's those are things that the normal girl is worried about. Those are things that she sees and thinks that the normal girl should be concerned about, and she concerns herself with it. And then she realizes that, yeah, if I was a normal girl, this is how my life would be, and it's nice.
And yeah, I swear,
I think the other part about it is, like you said, normal girl. Well, a girl has most of her life ahead of her. She's not an old woman. And so if you're going to be a normal girl, then you have to act like you have most of your life ahead of you. Otherwise, you're acting like something completely different.
And I really feel like that didn't change until maybe the last minute where, like, she's lying down in the snow. Like, I want to, you know, I want to die lying down in the snow. I think that's the only point where I can generally say that she wasn't thinking of being a normal girl living for the future. And
because
she
it
kept
was already,
that up until the very end, you know?
It was already her birthday, so, like, the promise was to do it until her birthday, and once the clock struck midnight, bye, Cinderella.
This fucking route, so good. I
hope
and
that,
then
she, like, draw, she makes a drawing of herself, and she ups and leaves, leaving Yuichi with that portrait. Oh my god.
That was a cute portrait, too. She said that
portrait,
she can draw portraits better than landscapes. I actually want to touch on something. There's, like, this weird symbolism here with Shiori being, like, an artist and painting portraits. And it's this whole idea of natural beauty of the world. I know where we can go with this, but I really felt that as the route progresses, Yuichi's descriptions of the natural environment become a lot more artistic, a lot more beautiful. There's a lot going on there. It's just, like... I really didn't see it in the other race. I really felt like Shiori was almost influencing Yuichi to sort of, like, perceive the world in a much more beautiful way. And that's also due to the fact that Shiori is experiencing...
Super good writing.
Shiori's experiencing these last few days, and she's trying to, like, soak in every little detail of the world, you know, before she expires. You know, just like how she's, like, standing outside his house and, like, just staring for a few minutes so she can, you know, really take it all in. I feel like that really came off in Yuichi too, because of all of his internal monologues were describing the natural beauty of the world each morning, and that, and it's like really cool.
My favorite Yuichi monologue segment that ended up turning into like this kind of cliche thing that turned it out being totally okay because of the whole their little conversation about dramas and it being cliche as hell but predictable is good and stuff, which was super meta.
Yeah.
By the way, it's like, we're writing about what's happening, haha. But it was, like, cool. It was totally cool, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
Especially whenever things come around, and they get to take their second shot at it, and it works out. Which, I really liked the second scene of this, because... Not only does this is, like, my favorite Yuichi monologue, whenever he's taking his walk... And we said before we started this podcast about how this route didn't really have anything retrospective about it. The retrospective tone here was absolutely brilliant. Because it's not a flashback. It's Yuichi just taking a walk. You never leave that grounded perspective of being in his eyes. And he's taking his walk at night where he's, you know... gathering all of his thoughts together because there's such a jumble, there's so much going on, he's really lost about what's going on. So he's taking a walk. He's bringing it all in. And he's thinking about, you know, the past few days where so much has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just trying to put it all in perspective. When he just, like, autonomously walks to the fountain and behold, Shiori's there. And it's just like, oh, hi. I ain't seen you in a while.
That's the only reaction, yes.
It's the most natural thing in the world. They don't even say anything about that they haven't seen each other. They just start talking about some bullshit. Like, about whatever.
That was like, so TV
drama. Oh, man, this place sure is pretty at night. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, this is amazing. And this is like, it's really cliche, again, which goes into her line about that's the coolest thing I've ever said, which it is. You made a great tweet. You're just like, all right, we get it. The writing's good.
Isn't that the most deep and meaningful thing I've ever said,
Yuichi? It's brilliant. It is brilliant. Oh, God, but anyways, he gets there and he starts describing her standing there. And I really like the words, the way that he described her is that he didn't use weak and whimsical words. Like, they actually write contrasting words here, where he talks about, like, the wind blowing her hair, and he says that her hair doesn't just wither away, but it flows in the wind.
Yeah.
And, like, he basically just talks about, you know, that she's firmly planted there, and it brings groundedness. It's like, Shiori's a real person. This isn't a whimsical dream. It's the tone is heavy, not fantastical. Like, we're talking about something very real. And I feel like it just set the tone, like, absolutely perfectly. And then they agreed to their, you know, week of normality and stuff, which was just cool. I like the tangibility there. They're gonna kind of stand strong against the end and just kind of do their thing.
Fucking...
and not be hindered by life's shortcomings.
Fucking Naoki Hisai is showing up Maeda all over this game.
One thing that I did kind of find fun about their week of normalcy was that really, if you look at this as kind of escapism on Shiori's part, she's been living, you know, the past long-ass time knowing that it's inevitable, it's going to happen, blah, blah, I don't have a lot of time left, etc. And then she suddenly has this opportunity and this person willing to just be like, yo, 1 week, we pretend like none of that shit's gonna happen. And it starts off really strong. I mean, first day, school uniform, hey, what's going on, let's go grab lunch, etc.
Let's eat at the cafeteria and then, have curry.
And then the closer that you start to get toward the end of this week, the more that you kind of see her having to revert back to just this, you know, strong mental state of, oh shit. This is going to happen.
I'm just kidding.
She's probably slowly feeling that cold, you know, building up on her. Cold
yeah. I really liked how almost instantly Yuichi is frustrated. Like, instantly. Like, it shows. Like, even after they part ways, like, not even, like, 5 seconds pass, and he's just like, hey, are you sure there's no way? Like, immediately he starts getting worried. And this is why I brought up earlier about how, like, I feel like Shiori is still just so ungodly strong in comparison to Yuichi. Like, he's cracking instantly. Like, he's already, like, frustrated. And he wakes up the next day and he's like, I just throw my blankets on the floor and get up. And, like, he's, like, just immediately is, like, just flustered. And I mean, hey, they get to live happily either way. Like, they go on and do their things. But, like, the best part here is, like, they have to reel you back in and realize that the struggle doesn't end with those two. And that she might still be able to be happy with Yuichi, but there's an even bigger problem that still exists, and that's her sister. There's still a huge hole, you know, in her heart here where she doesn't have that sister with her. And it shows, like, she's still missing something that isn't helping her to get through it, I think. And I felt like that coming together towards the end really helped bring about
Oh, okay. So that...
Her appreciation for life and stuff.
I forgot the timeline. It all came. So it's good that they put that scene after Yuichi, you know, screaming and asking if there's any way.
And, you know, all the other roots have this, like, thing about Yuichi remembering the past and, like, you know, his old relationships with the girls. But there's none of this in this root. It's all completely, I just met you, this is the present.
And this
we've
is
only
crazy.
Had 2 weeks together. And this is crazy! But I can't continue the lyrics to that. But yeah, so... 2 weeks, we've only known each other for 2 weeks, and yet you're already the most important person in my life. And like Yuichi's like, that's kind of weird. And Shiro's like, no, it isn't. It's just the most natural thing in the world. It's just... this whole route is about... It's not about memories in the sense of remembering the past. It's about making memories in the present. And,
yay.
You know, that's... so cool that they actually went on a different sort of direction with this, and I actually really appreciate that. That was the point that Aizen wanted to bring up, so I just thought I'd touch on that briefly, but I really felt that too.
I get that sense from a lot of the key visual novels, is that the route that fits the least with the story is always the most interesting one. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just that has like fewer confines on the like what the story has to be, but I don't know, that's just my personal opinion.
I can't say the same for Air though.
So I guess like wrapping this up, I just wanted to talk briefly about the epilogue where Shiori's talking about, hey Yuichi, what if this is all a dream? It's just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yes.
This reminds me so much of Yukine's epilogue in Clannad. Like, so much. It's, like, exactly the same in sort of pacing and what it's trying to do here.
Hey! Psst, there's something else going on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
I mean, hey! There's something else going on, guys!
I mean, if you think about it, isn't it actually just a dream that we, the readers, are viewing? I mean, none of it is actually real. It is just fiction, after all.
You could interpret it in a meta way like that.
Interesting.
But yeah, whatever. I'll leave you to mull over that. I don't know how blatant it is at this point.
The only reason I survived is to make the readers happy?
Oh. Yep!
Yo, it's some meta shit!
Hey man, it does say, since when does the dream have no end? It can't have an end. It can't end. It has to
live. Confirmed, well, now Kiyosaya is actually a hack.
It did end, so... Rip dream. I wish we could view it forever. I would like to see Yuichi and Shiori in their adult lives.
Wow, I guess that's a wrap, guys. Holy shit, this route was amazing, and
it was
much awesome discussion. I loved this! This was probably my favorite podcast of the Canon Book Club so far, and I don't know, how do you guys feel? Feel good?
I mean...
Yeah, man.
I came here expecting to not be able to talk about much because I thought, like I said, I thought everything was pretty clear-cut. But yeah, I think, despite it being us gushing about the Shiori route...
There's a lot of gushing.
Nope, there's no problem with that.
If you disagree with us, say on the forum, like, if you didn't like this route, I want to hear why. Please. By all means.
And I still bring my challenge to all the readers to try and read that alternate ending. Because
I'm definitely going to.
One thing about Ki and this Ki magic, and we've been having a discussion on the forum a few days, like just yesterday, there's always a choice. You can always not go to that Ki magic, you know? And you can live your life without that ending. It's just that people are like, oh, if it's not the true ending, then it's not what really happened. No, that's not how visual novels work. Shut up.
Especially, it's not
all endings.
It's
are
not
true
how
endings.
Canon works, because every ending is canonical in canon.
All right, enough puns.
Enough puns.
That was funny. I'm gonna do that thing I do, and I'm gonna pull out a. I'm gonna do that thing I do, and I'm gonna pull out that last second thing that I can also say is just shout outs to this root breaking that mold, where he asks the girl out, and she says nope.
Oh yeah,
you got wrecked.
Hell yeah,
that's breaking that mold. You got rejected.
Shout outs to fan art for this route. We actually got quite a bit more than usual. We got a fan art by White Crow. That's a really pretty Shiori. Fantastic
yes,
job there.
It is very pretty.
Mm-hmm. Fully colored and everything. And then we have Kuna TP on the forum posted a Shiori drawing they did. It's just a sketch, and I really like what they did there. Very classy. And then, of course, we have Black Hayate 02 posting another fan art. This one, the portrait of Shiori with the subtitle bookmark as the kanji for her name. Really cool. I'm loving all this fan art, guys.
I always love the clothing choices that Black Hayate puts on the canon characters.
Mm-hmm. And like, classy. One thing I've noticed with this book club is, I found with other book clubs, we kind of just like, people would do fan art, but they just do it of the series overall, of whatever characters they feel like. I feel like this is the first book club where people are actually paying attention to what route we're reading and like, okay, I'm going to post fan art of this character on this week. And like, we're getting lots of fan art of all the different characters, and thank God, like, they're actually doing that. That's what I really love to see, so thank you so much to everybody who's contributed fan art. I appreciate it so much. And one more week, guys, time for all your IU fan art. Looking forward to it. As for forum discussion, we're going to have to do a shout-out to Magaska once again, and the Rational Pie, because everyone knows Pie has finished this game ages ago, so we can talk about it before anyone else. Aizen Kobu and Pepe. And then in the last 24 hours, we just got some last-minute discussion from Canon, Naoki Saten, and Kyuketsuki Miu. Thank you so much, guys, for keeping up with the podcast schedule. I know it's been a bit rough with everybody trying to get in at the last second, but thank you for making the effort. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And Biscuito, of course. The Biscuito and Nashes were literally reading up to the last second.
Hey, don't judge me.
And Nashes.
Yeah, man, I'm doing good.
Mm-hmm. Good job, guys. I appreciate it. And so,
happy to be here.
Thank you, everybody, for not once mentioning the great Shiori disaster of February 2009 for this podcast.
No, that never happened.
Yeah.
No memes.
It did make it to the forums, though.
It certainly did. See you next week for IU's Route, guys.
Hey, where's that strawberry ice cream?
Yeah, I ordered my mint chocolate chip ages ago. What the fuck?
I hate people who say that kind of thing.